grand old age. It's getting hard for me to stand all this time. No. I'm young. Thank you very much, Steve. At your advanced age of 1 year older than me, you look down and say, you're young. I was going to preach on the final Jesus I Am today, but God spoke to me and said, I want you to talk about how I speak to people. And so it's a lesson learned and a lesson given. So, good morning. Golage. At least I didn't say good afternoon or good evening this time, eh? Golage, halage, nalage, nilage? Yes. Yes. I'm slow and I'm learning. As you remember, coming up to Advent, we went through a usual series of talking about biblical events. And the person we talked about who's really struck me and has sat with me is Mary. God spoke to Mary through the angel Gabriel. And, you know, it was kind of terrifying. This bright being, this powerful being, this mighty angel and messenger from God shows up and talks to you. And rightfully, she's a little fearful. But she engages in conversation with Gabriel through God's messenger with God, and God gives her a clear message that if she's willing, she would be the bearer of the Savior of the world. She would give birth to the Savior of the world. If she said yes, the Messiah would come to this young woman of relatively little account, and she would carry the Savior. God spoke, and Mary said yes. And that young woman's yes divides history. It's the linch point of history from the fall and God's bringing his kingdom back and his kingdom coming back to the world. And she said yes. And so it has, ever since I spoke that message, believe it or not, God actually speaks to me probably even much more than you when I prepare messages. And what he's been saying to me is I speak and I'm inviting you to say yes to me. When God speaks, it's an invitation to participate and say yes. Because our God speaks. He's a living God. We're not in faith just because we believe a certain set of formulas or propositions or beliefs about God. No, those kind of define who God is or that what he's not. But we are in faith with a living God. We're in relationship with a living God who speaks to us. Not just once in history and then we show up at church and we try and be good, but he speaks to us daily and ongoing. And I have prayed for you and I pray for us regularly, and we prayed again this morning that we would hear him speak to us. And I want to go through some of the ways that he does, but more than me speaking, I want you to hear and sense God the Holy Spirit talking to you throughout your days. Because he doesn't just speak to spiritual professionals. He doesn't just speak to hermits in caves or nuns or priests or pastors or those who are paid to spend their extra time. He speaks to all his children. Matter of fact, he speaks to the whole world, but in a special way to his children. He speaks primarily to draw them into his love and relationship with his son. And he speaks in many ways, the Bible being the most clear. He knows how we are made, so he gave us this book that we can read that's been translated into almost every living language on the earth so we can hear him. And the Bible kind of defines where life is and where life is not. But he speaks to us through his Spirit. But he also, I shouldn't say this is also, and his Spirit speaks in many ways. Sometimes it's clear, you're reading through the Bible and you go, oh my, that's for me. I don't know if any of you have that experience. You're reading this book written at least 2,000 years ago, and you're reading something that was written, and you go, oh, God, that's for me. That's for me. I remember reading through shortly after I came to faith, and you may have heard me speak about it, but I came across Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, where God says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And boom, the Spirit touches me. And do you ever have that feeling when you're reading through the Bible and a couple of verses stick out, something Jesus says or something that the prophets say, and you hear God saying, Frank, this is for you. I know you're weary and burdened, and this is for you. So he speaks through the Bible, through impressions, a nudge of the Spirit, to quote a famous line that we've heard lately. The Spirit impresses on us. Or through a friend's words. You ever have a friend say something to you, you realize, oh yeah, that's God speaking. Or a wise older man or older woman, maybe it's your father or grandfather or an uncle. Or the, and you say, yes, this is, I hear God speaking to me. And God speaks through the beauty of the world. David wrote this. Can you imagine in Jerusalem? They don't have night lights like we do. They don't have, and so looking up at the night sky was a lot easier. And this is what he wrote in Psalm 19. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a word or without sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. Amen? You know, when I go for my prayer walks from here, I walk down the street, and some of the first things I see, if not the North Shore Mountains, and they disappear for large portions of the year, but are these giant cedars on the left here. And usually when I'm going out for a prayer walk, I'm all anxious because I got to pray for you guys and everybody. And there's this whole list running through my mind. And I look at that tree and suddenly God says, you know, Frank, this tree took 80 years to grow and I did it. I know what you're doing. Chill. When I look at the beauty of what he's made and how they grow, his Spirit and that beauty says, chill, Frank. You know, I do have things in control. It's not all up to you. God speaks. God speaks through the music or the song lyrics you heard today or the prayers. I heard God speak through the songs I learned, especially when I was a young Christian. The first song I ever started to sing, because before I came to faith, I did not sing. In grade 5, I was in music class, and we were standing up singing songs, and I was belting it out with all my might, and suddenly the music teacher stopped and said, stop, 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 everybody, stop, be quiet. Frank Bertel, you're throwing it off and ruining it for the whole class. Would you sit down and stop singing? So I didn't sing for 15 years after that. I was embarrassed of my own voice even in the shower. You know, I could sing like three words of Led Zeppelin. I could go, hey, hey, mama, and then I'd hear my voice and have to stop because I was embarrassed. But when I came to faith, God gave me my voice back. And the first song I learned to sing, and I remember singing it walking home from the little house church, was Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now am found. I was blind, but now I see. But was lost, but am found. And those words speak to me today. I was lost, and God sought me out and found me. Amen? He speaks. He speaks. What I'm hoping to do today as I talk to you is remind you that it's not just through the Bible, and sometimes it's not just through an audible voice. Every day and in every way, your Lord, your Father, the one who wove you together in your mother's womb, is speaking to you through his Spirit. Sometimes he speaks even in an audible voice. Now, I've never had an audible voice, but sometimes he's speaking by the Spirit, and I tend to hear him right underneath my bald spot. Because for me, that's where I locate that center of my conscience. You know, that place where I know right from wrong, it seems like it's right about there. And that's sort of where I think I get the impressions. One time in Whistler, I was a new believer, about a year and a half saved, and this one-man cult came to town, a one-man prophet. He was, and he kind of baffled and misled a number of us, because he just challenged us to what's God saying to you? And I felt disquieted, but I thought it was, I just had to believe more. And so I remember one day, we had hitchhiked in the car, and from about where the Whistler Village is now, and we're leaving down to where the gas stations are now, and about to leave town, and we're going to go down to Vancouver and preach on the street and set the Canada on fire with the gospel. And right as we got to the gas station, ready to go downtown with this false prophet, I sensed the Holy Spirit say, "Get out of the car now." So I stopped, got out of the car, and went. I was working on Western Mountain at the time, and I went to a staff meeting instead. And God said to me, "These are your people. Get out now." But I felt that. And sometimes he does. And it turns out later on, he was sexually abusing a friend of mine. And when he finally came back, I remember saying to him, "Look, Wayne, you're a false prophet. You can't stay with me and us in this house we rent anymore. You have to leave." But he spoke to me, and sometimes he does. He was shouting right in that place where I know right from wrong. And sometimes that may happen to you. God speaks through the circumstances of your life, doesn't he? 6 years ago, he spoke to me clearly about speeding when I was standing by the side of the road watching my car be towed away and impounded for a week, 40 kilometers over the speed limit. And your car goes away for a week for $400, for a $400 ticket, for a $400 storage fee, for $400 a year on ICBC. And he spoke to me, and he convinced me, you know, the speed limits I put out there, maybe you could follow those too. It's good witness. God speaks through circumstances. God speaks through the circumstances of your life, in your job, and your school. Have you ever been in traffic and you know you're weaving back and forth, or you're late and the bile is rising in your stomach and the guy just cuts you off and you're getting all stressed out? Do you ever sense the Holy Spirit saying, "Chill. Why are you in such a hurry?" That's the Holy Spirit. That's God talking to you. He's interested in every aspect of your life. Or if you're in school, if you're getting ready, an exam is coming, and there's a fear that comes upon you that somehow your life is defined by the marks that you get in school. And God says, "No, my dear child. Your life is defined by the love I have for you, by the fact that I gave my son to die for you. That's what gives your life worth. I love you, and I made you. Your worth is infinite." God speaks in many ways, in various ways. Sometimes he speaks through the visit of old friends, and Bruce probably knew this, but this weekend has been remarkable for me. I came to faith 36 years ago, probably this weekend, when my first day on the job in Whistler Mountain, young woman working there who was in a house church, invited me home for dinner and started talking about God. And I walked into the house, and the first man I saw was this long-haired hippie guy, and that instantly set me at ease because I knew he was one of mine. And he said, "Hi, how are you? My name's John." And he said, "How are you?" in a way I hadn't heard before, because it was, "How are you? I'm actually interested." You ever hear that when someone says that, a Christian greets you and you realize that's the Spirit of God? Well, they invited me in, and I was just so curious. I was chit-chatting about God. And about an hour and a half later, a man who was at that time only 24 years old but is now 60, Bruce, put up your hands. This man here, Bruce McLeod, asked me if I would like to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Burst into cold sweat. Knew that if I did this, I'd never do drugs again. Kind of felt a voice talking. It wasn't a bald spot that time. That now is the time, now is the time. And I said, yes, and my life has changed. So he spoke to me then, but he spoke to me this weekend, because on Friday, Bruce and Amy came to our house and we went out for sushi and we talked and we prayed. And he was there. 36 years, almost to the day that he asked me if I wanted to follow Jesus. And then yesterday, John and Karen, John was also living in that house with Bruce, serving the Lord, telling people in Whistler about Jesus. He showed up yesterday. And again, we had fellowship and we prayed together. And God is telling me, it's almost like, look back, remember, Frank, I deliberately and intentionally reached out through these men to love you. You ever have an old friend show up and your heart bursts with joy and you realize God is telling me something. God is telling me of the worth of human beings, of the delight of Christian community. When I look and see Bruce, and we've stayed in good touch over the years and wept and cried and prayed and laughed over the phone. We pray even 2 days ago that he's building Christian community. This is what God's saying to me too. The preciousness, that joy and friendship you enjoy, that's what God created us for. To love him and love each other and have it go on forever. Amen? It's so precious. When I came to this church, I realized the founders of this church knew each other and the friendship they have with each other. And when I came to this church, I realized my friends from the camps in Thailand knew each other and grown up with each other. And there's a bond that you have as you grow together. And it's delightful. And God speaks through that. And the mark of his speaking is always the fruit of his spirit, kindness and love and power. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. When God's speaking, he may be asking you to do a tough thing, but it comes with his love. It comes with conviction, not condemnation. He doesn't say, you useless piece of garbage, you need to do this. He says, my dear child, you've caused wounding and you need to make it right. So he speaks in many times in various ways, but what I want us to do is when he speaks, say yes. This is the hard part. because when we say yes, we're saying yes to more of life and more of in the flow of the Holy Spirit and more of Jesus and more of personal transformation and more of that abundant life Jesus promised us. It's all down the path of yes. Now, I was mentioning Bruce visited this weekend, is here today, but my friend John was here yesterday. That's John on the right, long-haired hippie fellow. That's me when I actually didn't have to wear a hat when I went out in the sun. Working, that's the old Husky gas station at the entrance to Whistler now, since torn down. Back then when you had unleaded and regular leaded gas. He told me that he had determined, just as we were parting, as he's going out the front door, that he decided he would start saying yes to people more often. You know, when friends ask you to do something or go someplace, because we have so many excuses. Oh, I'm too busy, it's inconvenient, it might be something I'm not used to, and so often we say no. But he decided he would start saying yes more often when a friend asked him to do something. And he said it just continued to open doors. And it makes more friendship and more life when you say yes. And it's the same with God. I kind of think it's like Facebook Messenger. You ever send a message out on that and it goes poomp and then nothing comes back? Or you send out an email, you leave a phone message and nothing comes back? You know how it kind of drops? Sometimes I check my inbox and I go, oh, I'm so humiliated because I'm behind. But when, or you're having a conversation and you say something to somebody and they don't speak back, it just drops there. But if you respond, and I've got my Facebook Messenger history to look at it, and you see the conversation goes back and forth and things develop and you find out more about each other. When you say yes to conversation, you reveal more of yourself to each other. And the conversation begins. And it's the same with God. He's speaking all the time, but often we're saying later, God, or not recognizing that he's speaking to us. Young Samuel, living with Eli, 7, 8 years old, heard the voice at night, Samuel, Samuel, and he ran to Eli, and Eli was baffled. And finally, Eli recognized it was God speaking to him. And he said, okay, lie there, and when he calls your name, say, yes, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That's one of the ways we say yes. When you get that nudge from God, I'm speaking to you, just say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Open it up. Say yes, because a yes to God is always to more life, to eternal life, to transformation, to being, it's invited down that road into which you will become more of the man or woman you were created to be. And it may mean trusting him and letting go of the fear that might hold us back. Because often by default, our answer is no, isn't it? I don't like change any more than you do. Because of our fear or worry about the consequences, what if I go to that person and say this? Will that be the end of my job? Will it be the end of the relationship? Will they get mad? Or will it mean I'm not in control and my life careens out of control? What if I say yes to this job opportunity? Does that mean I'll have to move? I'll have to change things? Maybe it'll be not getting what I want or being afraid of what'll happen. And sometimes yes to God means no to other things. But my brothers and sisters, yes to God means no sometimes to the things that hold us back and rob us of life and keep us stuck. Sometimes it means saying no to the things that we're addicted to. Maybe it means saying no to a way of thinking that's destructive. Maybe you're used to saying, I'm no good or I can't do it, and God is calling you to say, yes, you can. Maybe it's saying no to a relationship or anger. Maybe it's saying no to the lies that the enemy tells us. Maybe it's saying no to the good things that are taking the place of the best things. But yes, no matter how difficult it is, leads to freedom, leads to letting go of burdens, leading to letting go of that which keeps us anchored in place and sometimes in the sorrow and the captivity we don't want to be. I've had two friends, shortly after they came to faith, at the beginning of their life, following Jesus, heard God say he wanted them to forgive, to let go of the pain that they felt someone had caused them. One of them told me that as she was walking in downtown Vancouver on a busy work day, she felt the Holy Spirit speaking to her and saying, I want you to forgive your ex-husband. Now, you need to know that she moved to Canada with two young boys from Hong Kong, and her husband went back to Hong Kong to do work and essentially completely abandoned her here in a new country with two young boys to make a life on her own. And she did it, and there were lots of stumbling blocks along the way, and she wasn't a Christian. But eventually, through an Alpha program, she came to faith. And she trusted in Jesus, but there was still an anchor holding her back. And as she was walking downtown, she heard the voice of God saying, I want you to forgive your ex-husband, this man who caused you all this pain and has abandoned you in the raising of these children. And she said, yes, okay. Because saying yes to God is not saying yes, I'll do it on my own. It's saying yes to that which the Holy Spirit empowers. And almost as the word yes comes out of your mouth, joy courses through your body and you sense freedom and you sense the shackles coming off. And Donna went on to become the main leader of Chinese ministries in her previous church, both in Mandarin and Cantonese. She went on to lead Alpha programs. She went on to lead divorce care because she had found herself transformed through that process of offering ongoing forgiveness. She went on to help plant a new church. Her sons have grown up now, both married, both by the grace of God, following Jesus with power and a vigor. And she found life and joy and freedom because she said yes to the speaking of the Holy Spirit. My friends, he is speaking to you today, asking you to let go of that which burdens you. Or maybe he's speaking to you today, inviting you to try something new, and you know it's just been niggling in your heart. Or being bold, maybe stepping out and saying hi to someone you've always been afraid to do. Or maybe saying yes when Pastor Frank asks you to share your testimony and you're absolutely terrified of standing in front of people. Thank you, Luebu. You have been so brave. But God is speaking to you today through impressions, through friends, through the beauty of the world, and inviting you to say yes to more life, to more freedom, to more joy. Now, I'm going to finish today. I was just going to talk for a few minutes before my message, which was going to be Jesus saying, I'm the vine, you're the branches. But he said, no, don't say that. I just want you to leave them with this. And actually, so what I'm going to do is one of the ways he speaks to us is through the words of the Bible. So I'm simply going to read Jesus saying he's the true vine and we're the branches and his life is in us. And then I'll finish and I'll pray and then we'll sing again. So let's listen to God speak. If you've got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 to 17. And I'm going to pray just before we read through this. Father, I know these words are for your people today and are an invitation to them. Tune their ears and my ears to hear as we read in Jesus' name. Jesus said, I am the vine. This is reading from the New Living Translation. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Now he goes on, and it's interesting, the second half of this passage, he defines a little more what remaining in him and he in us means. And this is what Jesus said. Remember, these are his teachings just days before he is about to be crucified. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father has told me. We are a gathering of friends. Amen. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you for whatever you ask in my using my name. And we will finish. This is my command. Love each other. Let me pray for you. Father, in the stillness of these moments before we sing again, remind my friends of the bigness of your affection for them. That you chose each and every one of them, that they are not here by some mistake or casual decision, but you were calling them by your Spirit, choosing them to come be part of your family, choosing them to be your friends and members of the community of friends. Give them the confidence to know that since you chose them, you love them, speak to them, and will carry them through. Thank you, Father, that we can ask you these things in the name and person of Jesus who sits and intercedes for each of us. In his name I ask. Amen.